And what's up, people? Welcome to the Fairs and Heart podcast. I am your boy, So Debonair. Ash, well, you guys probably don't know, Dwayne's not here today, but we do have a special guest.
Hello, my name is Clark. I'll be joining this evening. Definitely glad to be here. Thanks for the invite. Definitely appreciate that.
So I brought Clark because Dwayne's not here. I needed the calls because I can't do it by myself. So we're going to still do the same thing, but we're going to do some topics. Of course, the same that we normally do. Actually, we're going to do some different stuff because I do want to talk about Brandon Monica a little bit. You haven't watched it, but I have.
I did not.
Do you want to tell them about you a little bit before we get into this?
Oh, absolutely. Well, born and raised in Chicago. Have a plethora of social media myself. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, both It's Clark underscore underscore. Again, It's Clark, ITSCLARK underscore underscore.
All right. So we're going to get into the topic. The first one I do want to do is Brandy Monica. I got to do this because the people are mad about Brandy.
I'm from the hood and I'm proud. How about
that? They're mad because, I mean, Monica killed it and I loved it. I feel like people sleep on Monica a lot because they feel like she's a hood chick. And I can't answer this phone right now. they feel like she's a hood chick. And they discredit her whole catalog of music because of that. And I feel like it's unfair because she shouldn't have to be subjected to that. Monica has had a really good career. And at the end of the day, when Billboard marks her numbers, Monica sits higher on the totem pole than Brandy does. That's it. That's not all that.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue at all. I like them both.
I love both of them.
I was like honestly shocked to find out that they each only have one Grammy. It's the one Grammy they share together. Yeah. That blew my mind. I for sure thought, because they both have timeless hits. So I'm like, why wouldn't they have each individually an array of different Grammys?
They haven't had them. They haven't had nominations.
Right. Countless nominations.
They just have not gotten one separately. So I feel like that's why they keep revisiting this whole thing together. Because it gives them opportunity to maybe get another one. Even though I think that they both deserve Grammys from a lot of their old work. Like, Brandy, Never Say Never is a classic. You can never downplay that album. It was a classic. For me, Monica has a lot of classic albums that I like, but I'm not gonna be, you know, biased on this. But her best album to me was Makings of Me or Still Standing. Either one of those should have got it.
I do like that. Makings of Me came after the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the storm, I could have swore that one had because Missy dipped her whole body in that.
Yeah, Missy was on Makings of Me too. That's when she did A Dozen Roses.
That song right there. I love A Dozen Roses. Love it. Stays on repeat.
So I'm just saying, you know, I'm not hating on either one. I love them both. I am a Monica fan. And I'm a hood chick. I'm a hood chick.
I'm from the hood and I'm proud. How about that?
I'm going to leave it at that. So let's go ahead and get into our topics. Our first topic is, say you have a fuck buddy. Is it okay for that person to call you and ask you for money when they get in financial situations? There's no relationships outside of sex. They're just, it's a fuck buddy. Is that okay?
From my own personal opinion, I'm going to say no. I'm not going to give the funds. I'm not.
I don't think I would either. Now, I think I have called someone that I was just having sex with and they have given me money before, though. So if it was that person, I probably would. But outside of that, probably not. I mean, there's no commitment there. Like, there's no reason for me to, like, get engaged in what your daily financial problems are.
Right.
So I don't think that's my responsibility. Like, clearly you have someone more important than me to ask money from.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wouldn't have, I couldn't do it. I mean, unless you gave me some kind of story and I really believed it, I may think about it.
It's a hard no.
And it would have to be depend on how long we've been sex partners.
I think me, I can be very detached from when I set an intent mm-hmm. with someone and this and we lay it out plain and clear what it is and how it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just sex, you're just gonna stay in that lane of sexual.
But if it's somebody that you're like cool with, y'all been fucking for a long time, and like y'all have a kind of build a little relationship like with this situation.
That's different.
Okay.
There's rapport there.
There's
a connection there.
Right.
But if we just fucking, mm-hmm. and that's literally, we just call the fuck, why are you calling me at this odd hour of day?
Like, we're not going to meet on Jack, and then we fuck, and then you ask for money next week. Like, that's never happening. not even like the first month, like, you don't call me on that. But if, like, we've been fucking for a while, of course, probably conversation has probably happened, but it would just have to, I guess for me, it would depend on the relationship that we have built as fuck buddies. Because if we just fucking, like, there's no conversation in between
right.
that, like, do not call me.
Like, we nut, we leave.
Yeah, like, do not call me. Like, it ain't happening, partner. Like, I just can't do it.
Not at all. Agreed. Like, this, if it's purely just sex yeah. and it's just got that nut bounced, we only converse when it's fucking time.
What if it's good sex, though? Like, it's the best sex you've had. Are you willing to lose that?
I don't know, because I have never been dickmatized or asthmatized, so I cannot comment on that, because I can honestly say I've never been dickmatized or asthmatized to that point.
I don't think I've ever given any money to someone I was just fucking before. Someone has for me. But I've never done that for anyone else. So I don't know. I don't think I would do it. I don't know. But let us know, you know, on social media, ALTH Podcast, or hashtag ALTH Podcast. Let us know what you guys think. Let's move on to the next topic, which is how much time is needed for you to grieve a relationship?
Me? Ooh. I've been told I take too long.
Okay.
I've literally had guys tell me, how long do you need? It's like, you need to get someone new to take your mind off of that. And for me, I don't work that way. It's more so, I feel like I have to get past whatever made the situation end in the first place.
Right.
Now, if we ended on good terms, like, I've had relationships end on great terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still been able to get back into the motion of dating because I have a good
fast, like, even if it was good when you broke up, it was fast,
not fast,
okay.
Because I was fast, you know, like 4-5 months.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. That's not bad.
I'll say the longest I went was a year,
okay.
That person really pissed off at me. Now, I let him know up front, like, dude, I'm just like
that. You broke it off, or he broke it off?
And this happened. I broke it off.
Okay.
And I told the guy who was trying to get me, I'm like, I've only been single like
mm-hmm.
3 months. It was emotionally draining.
Yeah.
Even when I say emotionally draining, the individual I was dating was clinically diagnosed bipolar.
Oh wow.
Depressed. That was a whole roller coaster in itself.
And after y'all broke up?
No, I knew it during the whole process. Oh, okay. But after breaking up and then having to reflect, mm-hmm. it was...
That's a lot to deal with.
I did not have the mental capacity to take on anyone else at all.
That's a lot to deal with.
Hell of a lot.
I think for me, it depends on how long the relationship lasted. My ex, we dated for 10 years. We were married for 4 years. So it took me like 5 years to get over the whole thing. Like I didn't date anybody. I was fucking, but I did not date. So I think it depends on how long you dated someone and maybe how much you were committed to the relationship. Cause if you weren't really committed to it, you can date tomorrow.
Right.
But if you were like really in that thing, I think it takes time. So, that's what I got on that.
But then on the flip side, let's say things ended abruptly and they ended horribly. And then to find out that the person you were with was pretty much, in a sense, possibly not lying, but not exactly being forthright with their feelings and emotions. And then come to find out this is how they've been feeling for quite some time. You could come to feel like this person was lying the entire time. In that sense, I might be able to okay, well, fuck you 100%.
I still wouldn't be able to do that because if I was still emotionally invested into it, it's still going to take me some time. Because now I'm like, I could be invested in someone and they never really gave a fuck about me. Like,
right.
It depends on how invested you are in that situation. Because if that happened to me, like literally, I'd be fucked up in the head. Like, I would not be okay with that.
Like, I've been sitting here this whole time.
I'm gonna be like Monica when
kick down your doors and smack your chick.
Like.
But it's like, I don't know, like I say, for me, I can easily detach my feelings, but there is still that underlying factor of when you have a connection with someone, it is kind of hard to let go. But for me, when I know the truth and we get down to the nitty gritty of it, it can help me mentally speed up my detaching process and help me get back to myself, because I have literally no problem being alone, which can be an issue, because for some, I've had some dudes even tell me, like, you just don't seem like you need me or need shit, period. That's just how I was raised.
I feel like I'm like that too, but if you got into my head or into my heart, it's different. Because it takes a lot to get there for me. So if you are in that kind of space where, like, I'm in love with you, it ain't that easy for me to just backtrack and be like, all right, you done? Like, we're done, that's it? Like, no. In my mind, and maybe because I'm a Virgo, I'm overanalyzing the situation. I'm trying to figure out what happened. At what point did things change? Like, did you come to this already like this? Or did I do something that's making you feel like this? Like, I need to know why this didn't work. So I really couldn't. Until I get those answers, it's going to drive me crazy.
I can see that. Now, for my ex from 2 years ago, the first nigga I said I love you to and meant it, and like meant it to my core, like most vulnerable I had ever been with anyone. Actually, when we ended, I was shook.
How long did y'all date?
Shook to my core. See, here's the thing, which my friend broke down for me. So when we got together, I wouldn't give him a title. Okay. I wouldn't.
That's a red flag for me already.
I wouldn't. Only because this was just after the bipolar depressed guy.
Okay.
And I think we had already been like...
How soon did you start dating after that?
I didn't.
Okay.
So I want to say this was probably 2 years later.
Okay.
Yes, it was like 2 years later when I came across this gentleman. But he never put any pressure on me at all. Everything happened organically. But I told myself that I'm just going to be single. I'm not going to get attached to anyone. I made that promise to myself. I said, for a year. I said, you want a whole year. Like, that previous year was just you in, like, this dark, empty void trying to get out of the rut, because that motherfucker made me think I was crazy. Had me thinking that I was crazy.
Okay.
But lo and behold, when I was literally planning this grand gesture, because I feel hard for him. But I would not let my feelings take over. So I was like holding on to the sense of having that freedom by not giving the title. But I was literally with him every single day. There, if I wanted to do anything, I really didn't, wasn't thinking about it. I was literally with him. If I wasn't at work, after work, he was the type to just pull up. But after him, despite how we ended, everything was still so good. Mm. Like, the good outweighed the bad. Like, we actually converse now.
Okay. That's a good thing.
It is. But he was always apologizing for what he did and how he just hurt me. Mm. But in a conversation I had with my homegirl, she broke down to me why he might have did what he did. Mm. And how she said she would have did the same shit to me, too.
What was that?
So, again, we never had a title. Mm-hmm. But we were literally coming up on a year of just...
I want to be okay with that, but go ahead.
Right. So, she broke it down. I was at a function. She had, like, a little picnic at Piedmont. So, we're there. And she gave me, mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And she pretty much, she's like, why are you sad? Mm-hmm. I said, because I'm really cared about him and I loved him. She was like, but yeah, I didn't have a title. She was like, why are you mad?
Right.
She said, you sitting here, you low-key. She's like, you low-key sobbing. You don't look that happy. Mm-hmm. She's like, you look sad. But why are you sad? She was like, y'all didn't have no title. Y'all had no attachment, right?
Right.
I said, but she was like, uh-uh. She's like, ain't no but. She was like, y'all did not have a title. And said, and look at you. She said, literally, look at you. Your big fine ass walking around here. With no attachment. You only spending time with him. Mm-hmm. And you did not give him a title. She's like, so what do you think he's thinking?
Absolutely.
She's like, that you out here doing what?
What were you thinking, though? What were you thinking?
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about holding on to that sense of freedom. Literally. But she...
Because I'm like, in my mind, like, what did you expect?
Right. And she was like... You can't be mad when he wasn't yours.
That's true.
She was like, and I would have ghosted your ass too, but you're not going to be, she just said, look at you. You're not going to be walking around here looking the way you do with no damn attachment, mm-hmm. and thinking I'm just going to sit around while you're doing whatever you're doing. Yeah. Even though you're always with me, mm-hmm. I don't want you to know you're not with me.
Right.
Even though we're always spending time together, she said, a nigga want a commitment.
Right.
A nigga want a title. She was like, you did it.
So because your previous relationship, you didn't want to give any kind of title?
No, I just wanted to. When he came
at a bad time, basically.
He came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, just.
So why didn't you not go back and get him and give him the title?
So, after we broke up, then we got back together. Like, okay. We hadn't spoke for like a month.
Okay.
And then I had this, I was doing this model gig for the National Soccer Association.
Okay.
For when the championship was played here. Mm-hmm. And I lost my keys at an event. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to call him.
Okay.
Randomly called him. And he answered, which shook the fuck out of me, because I did not expect him to answer.
I wouldn't answer the phone.
Because I had not spoke to him in going on 2 months. Like, I had no idea where he was. He just, like, disappeared off the map. Mm-hmm. And long story short, next morning, we talked.
Okay.
Nigga had me crying in his fucking living room. And I hate crying. I hate it with a passion. And, but lo and behold, once we got back together, pretty much he had already checked out. And so we ended up breaking up officially.
That's understandable.
And.
What, did you give him a title when y'all got back together?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was 100% in it. I was already 100% in it because I was literally. Only with him.
Which you messed up because you didn't give it to him before he left.
Beforehand.
Okay.
Right. And now, after we talked about it and broke it down, mm-hmm. like, I let him know. I know the part that I played. Because mm-hmm. out of all the times he apologized, I never once got to let him know that I know the hand that I played in our demise.
Okay.
So what I recently told him that he appreciated that, he's like, and my homegirl Simone, if she when Emily, yeah, she's gonna watch, listen to this. He praised her for giving me that nice little conversation and telling me how tough I was.
People be messing up because if people are into you like that, like a lot of guys do that thing, especially in our community, they do that because of past things that's been going on. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of commitment, or they just don't see commitment as an option because of what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've been through. But you meet someone in a space where you're not really trying to be in it, so you don't really pay attention to what you really have in front of you. And so now you have something maybe good for you, and you bypass it, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and then they're out, and now you want it back, and they're done.
Right. And such is life. Then he hit me up again, like before we started back talking now, mm-hmm. a year ago, hit me up at trying to rekindle what we had, mm-hmm. but I couldn't do it.
Why couldn't you do it?
He broke my heart twice.
You broke his heart the first time.
True. There's pain.
Y'all like one and one.
But I couldn't. No. When he disappeared the first time, that crushed. I'm like,
but that was your fault.
I get that. I get that.
So you can't blame him for that? That's your fault.
It still hurt, though.
His hurt was probably way worse than yours.
I understand that. That's why I acknowledge it.
You can't lay that on him.
But the pain that was there, I couldn't see myself letting my heart get played with again. So.
But you played with his heart.
No.
You did. You led him into this whole situation that was a relationship that wasn't a relationship. It, all this time, so he ghosted you.
No, as me and him talked
about it. And then y'all came in together, you wanted to be in it, he couldn't get back. So now, y'all don't want to even play a field.
And I didn't fault him for that. When he walked away the second
even,
time.
But y'all on an even playing field that third time. The first time it was you, the second time it was him. The third time, y'all on an even playing field.
I couldn't do it.
That's terrible.
I couldn't do it. Love him to death. Still love him to death, but I do not trust him with my heart.
If I was him, I wouldn't trust you more than you not trust him, though.
Then we don't trust each other. And that's completely okay.
Is that a hindrance, though? Like, it's not really a bad situation because he was all in the first time. You drove him away. And it feels like you're not taking responsibility for the fact that you drove him away by saying that he broke your heart because you did that to him.
He never told me I broke his heart.
If he left you, he was all the way in. You should know that as common.
I didn't find this out until we had our conversation.
The second, and then you're trying to date again, but he was already like, don't trust you. What did you do to make him prove that he could trust you?
Well, that's 3 years ago at this point.
But I'm saying when y'all got back together the second time, what did you do to make him, to prove to him that he could trust you after that first time?
Well, we got back together after I lost my keys. Mm-hmm. And then he texted me mm-hmm. a week later saying he couldn't do it.
I understand that. I ain't gonna lie to
now,
you.
Now, out of all the things, now, for me, the way I look at it, because at that point, because we were always, our communication was A1. Mm-hmm. A fucking one. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in our recent conversations, I even asked, I said, our conversation was A1 up until that point. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we went wrong, but I was just like, at that point, our communication had just crumbled. And while I was planning this grand gesture in my head to make it official.
He couldn't get there.
Right. He was, that's when he had already checked
but
out.
But that's understandable though.
Right. That is completely understandable. Yeah. But I'm the like, type,
I feel like you should have done extra work to make him get there because you already messed it up the first time.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't literally know this.
Why didn't you know that, though? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. Like, You knew that you walked into this relationship the first time.
When he ghosted, he just, boom.
I mean, literally you were ghosting him the whole entire relationship the first time.
I'm not the ghosting type.
You were. So you were a ghost the whole relationship because you weren't really there.
I was there.
You weren't. Because you didn't want nothing.
Title.
You didn't. That's a ghost. Okay. It's like dating. It's like dating for no reason.
Because here's me. Here was me during that situation when it literally just came over me.
Mm-hmm.
Did I want him? Yes, but I would not give myself to him due to the internal factors that I already had going on.
Which wasn't his fault.
Which wasn't his fault. But I didn't want to pass it on. Like, when
Did y'all talk about that? Okay.
Wait, did we talk about that? No, we did not specifically talk about that.
Okay, so that's a red flag.
We did not. Because for me, what happened in the past, I don't never try to hold the negative shit from a past relationship going into a new one. I literally only try to hold on to the
good. But you should be upfront when you go into a new relationship about the old things that bother you. Or even if you're not in a space to date. Like for me, when I got in my relationship, I tell people like, you know, I just got a relationship. I'm not really like a dating person. Whatever happens, happens. And I've said that multiple times to people because I didn't want them to feel like I'm your next boyfriend. I'm about to marry you because you know I've been married. Like none of that. I was upfront about that because I didn't want to give anybody false hopes of anything. They still got it, but it was never my fault because I already gave you the disclaimer that this is not what I want or what I'm even open to at this point. Now, if it happens, we can have that conversation. But I never got there, so.
True. But like what me and him said was like everything with us happened organically. There was no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
There was never any.
No, because he wanted a man.
But see, but he never told me this. Because when we were having our conversation about probably a week ago, he was saying that everything with us just happened organically. Mm-hmm. Like there was literally no pressure from him. There was no pressure from me.
Right.
Everything we did just flowed.
But yours is a different side though, because
he told me like within the first month.
Told you he loved you.
He didn't tell me that. He did not tell me that. But when we had our conversation in July, when after I lost my keys, he then told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is what he already had checked out.
Right.
Okay.
So for me, like my homegirl said, she was like, why are you mad? He just goes just like, because I felt as though we still had some type of bond beyond whatever the relationship or situation was,
mm-hmm.
where he could have spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always had communication. So at that point it was like, I don't know what happened. I was calling him, like blowing his phone up, texting him.
But you already know he ghosts people though.
Nothing. You say what?
You already know he ghosts people because he ghosted you before.
No, this was the first ghosting. This is when he had checked out, and this is when like the communication, it was so weird because it was like it was there, and then he was just like, okay, what happened?
But maybe he felt like you like mentally were ghosting him though.
And then come to find out, he had an accident. But in that accident, he felt that he had, his first instinct was to call me. But because of how he felt that the way he just disappeared, he couldn't call me because he knew I would come. And I was like, yeah, I would have. I said, there's nothing you couldn't have asked me that I wouldn't have done. Because that's just how I felt about him. So it was it's so funny. Like at the end of shit is when all the shit starts coming out. It's like, but he even said like he figured that I was planning some grand gesture to say, yay, I want to do this. But he was like, at that point, he himself was having his battle with his thought process about what we were. And at that point,
what's the song about?
Shit. I want to say,
make a lot of sense. If it is a Capricorn, it make a lot of sense.
Because that was actually the first time he did, second time dealing with Capricorn, but the first one I was like,
Capricorn and Virgo are very much alike when it comes to thought process. Like, we overanalyze everything. So if it looks right, but it doesn't seem right, we're going to overthink it.
And I'm the type that when I start getting there, I'm going to come to you and talk to an individual and try to figure out why I feel this way. And come to a flat...
I think that it comes off as nagging when we do it, though, honestly. It's like...
But see, we had already had that level of communication where we literally
I get that. Everything. But it still comes off as nagging if you are having conversation that it feels like you should already know the answer to.
I don't feel like I should know the answer to anything.
Not you. I'm talking about him.
I say I'm not. I'll tell people all the time. I let people know I'm not a mind reader. Don't ever think I'm going to be
like,
a mind
everything
reader.
Looks good. We're flowing great. Like, it feels like I should know the answer. But it's still always like a ticking thing in your mind, like something's not right, or something needs to be talked about. Like it sits there, and I know Capricorn and Virgo are very much like when it comes to that.
First boyfriend of the Virgo.
We overanalyze.
He got comfortable. That Negro got comfortable and was like, Spice just left.
About the Spice leave.
I have absolutely no idea.
Between y'all two?
No. Me and Capricorn. Mm-hmm. It was roughly going to cover that. I'm going to address that part in one of our other topics that's next on the list, actually.
Okay. Well, let's move to the next one. So, what's more important, intimacy or sex?
In my opinion, intimacy.
This is your question, so I'll answer it first. So for me, it depends on if I'm dating you or we're just fucking. If we're dating, intimacy is way more important to me than sex. Like, it gives me more of a solid feelings with my partner. But if I'm just fucking, sex is more important. Like, it better be good. Otherwise, it's gonna be the last time. I might as well get on Jack to find somebody else.
Well, no. Yes.
It's a trial and error. That's it.
Understandable.
We pull up all the ass. Grindr, Jack, Adam for Adam. Group me, got a bunch of groups. Let me go on one of those if I'm just fucking. But if it's a dating situation, yeah, intimacy is very important to me. Foreplay is involved in that. Just the fact that we're into each other, like, it has to be like something where it's a never ending story when it comes to us. It's like really being into each other. Mad day, happy day, sad day, any day, we gotta be happy with each other when it comes to being intimate.
Yes. Now, I probably should have worded that question if more so like within the relationship. Because of course, outside relationship, don't no one care about no guy.
I mean, I would love to find a fuck buddy that's intimate. I mean, that's amazing. But
I've had some of those.
I've had some fuck buddies that were intimate. I loved it. It was amazing. We were probably consistent fuck buddies for a long time. So
I'll say. Now, in a relationship, definitely intimacy is the biggest one. And I can definitely attest to that because the situation, me and him literally only had sex twice.
Let me tell you something, sweetheart. I don't know how y'all do shit where you from, but let me tell you something. Where I'm from, we don't do shit like that.
Over the course of a year.
The guy that we just talked about?
And his level of intimacy and affection was through the fucking roof. Through the roof. Like... to the point where that level of intimacy where you feel like every time y'all together, y'all done had sex, but y'all
didn't.
Like, the way he kissed.
How long y'all dated?
Well, the situation. Right. They can't see me using air quotes, but I am using air quotes. But we made it to like 10 and a half, 11 months.
He only had sex twice?
And now me, all my friends.
Did you ever ask why?
I didn't care. Because it really wasn't important.
It wasn't. Because y'all wasn't, you had no titles.
No, it wasn't even that. Because I've had like fuckboys, but I didn't look for it with him. Everything else was, I just stressed the intimacy level that
I cannot not seeing intimacy leading into sex at some point and making it like a reoccurring thing.
I don't get it. It was just, I don't get it.
Wow.
But from the way he kissed, his touch, everything was sheer perfection. And he was the first top that I can honestly say that I cut every hoe off for. Mm. And it was really subconsciously.
So were y'all sexually compatible? Was that the issue?
I don't know. We didn't have, like I said, only had sex twice. But I didn't look for it.
There's more into this though. Like, there's no way. Yes. You said 10 months? Did y'all have sex twice? Something was, there's something there that I need some answers to.
me and him talked about it. We couldn't even pinpoint it. Like, he just, like, his sex drive was definitely lower than mine. Mm-hmm. But,
I mean, I understand, like, if you're in a relationship, sex is, like, really, it rarely happens. And that's speaking from me being in a 10-year relationship and being married for 4 years. Sex was very rare. But dating? Like, I can't imagine that.
I couldn't either until I was in it, and I was like 100% okay.
Like, you was cool with it?
I was cool.
Wow.
Like 100% cool with it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all I can say. I can't explain it. Can't explain it at all.
Wow.
But I can honestly say that me and him had a mental connection that I never had with anyone else.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe that was like stimulating.
Oh yes. We could literally, like,
what is that called in the letters of the LGBTQIA? It's called a something. Were they like intellectually?
They keep adding more letters. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But it's like they're intellectually. I know I've spoken all those words together, but but they're into they're into like, you know, words and how you feel, things like that. But they're not really into like actual physical sex. Is it intersex?
I don't know.
But it's one of them. I don't know what it is, but I'll look it up later.
I was all in it.
Well, wasn't in it.
I just got in it too late.
You was like looking at it, but you wasn't in it.
Right. But that is why I believe intimacy is more important, because after being in a situation where there was...
I think it's like asexual, actually.
Asexual people have no attraction to anyone, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought they have a sexual attraction to one sex.
Asexual?
They were like... That's a little... It's something, I know what it is. Please hold.
Okay. Asexual, without sexual feelings or association. Asexual individuals may still experience attraction, but this attraction doesn't need to be realized in any sexual manner.
Sapiosexual is what I'm talking about.
So which one are you looking up now?
I'm trying to find out what you were talking about, where you like are, you're into the person, like sexually, everything, but you don't really have sex. Yeah, sapiosexual. Sapiosexuals are some people who really are only sexually attracted to intellect. So maybe that's what it was.
Maybe. But I guess we could literally talk about anything. Yeah. Anything.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it sounds like. From what you were saying, that's what it sounds like.
And I loved it. Like that level that you can literally cross topics from pop culture to politics.
I would love to do all that, but we still fucking.
But when we did.
We could talk about anything intellectual you want to talk about. We can fucking do it at the same time.
But when we did, it was explosive. But I want to say him knowing that his sex drive wasn't that low. He compensated.
It wasn't that low, or it was low?
It was low. Okay. He even told me, I was like, but I had no issue with it. My little kinks that I had inside of me, because I got an array and a plethora of toys I just keep collecting and additional devices and shit. But
well, we're going to high five you on that. All the listeners know I'm a fan of sex toys. My closet has a lot of them, and I use them very frequently. And the listeners know that. We talk about them every week. So now I have a new friend with sex toys. Follow him again where?
It's Clark underscore underscore.
They're going to follow you because I'm telling you right now, they know I love sex toys. I have them. I use them very frequently.
Nice.
Let's go to the last relationship topic, which is why is masculine for masculine still a topic of discussion? This is yours. Honestly, this is a really good topic. I recently have been talking to someone who is not masculine. He acts like 50-50. He has some masculine qualities, but he has some feminine qualities. Mm-hmm. I've never really been a person who wanted a full, like, my attraction has never been like, I need somebody that's masculine or someone who's feminine. I like the actual, like, the in the middle part. I think that as a gay man, like, I think that that's realistic to me. I think we talked about a few podcasts ago, like a while ago. I fucked a guy that did drag. I didn't know it at the time, but I found out afterwards. I was still cool with it. Afterwards, I was like, wish you told me about it. But that doesn't really bother me. Like, I've never been like, I need somebody who's masculine. And I also think that there's a big thing going around now that's called soft tops. And
I mean, it's new words that pop out all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, it's like, I honestly don't get it, because if you are into somebody, you're into them.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they're masculine, they're feminine. It just depends on what you are attracted to. And sometimes their personality can override all of your expectations. And the guy that I've been talking to, like, honestly, I don't really see the feminine. I see that he does some feminine things. He feels like he's, like, very feminine. I'm like, I really don't get it. He's very manly. He does some feminine things. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like he's, like, half and half.
Right.
So I think that it all depends on how you view. I just never felt like coming in, like being a gay person, that I even had an option to choose if you're feminine or you're masculine. That's just a part of who we are. I feel like people want masculine and masculine want DL guys.
Hmm?
They want DL guys. Like, they want guys who are like secretly just having sex with gay men. That's always my mentality.
As far as you think that's what the stereotypical masculine guy wants?
Like, even a feminine guy, they want someone who's more masculine. They want, like, DL guy. I see it all the time. Like,
yes.
They want somebody who they got to secretly have sex with them and stuff like that. Mm. Or a date.
I don't know about that life.
I can do it. I'll be at you like, hello, my gay ass is outside.
I've had this topic. I've had this discussion with other gay friends,
mm-hmm.
and I don't understand it,
mm-hmm.
and I personally don't understand it. Primarily because people look at me and just think I'm an overly masculine guy.
I can see that.
Even my agent tells me, it's like, "Well, you're passable."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "But in my head, I'm gay as hell."
Like, but gay as hell doesn't mean feminine, though.
I feel as though I have feminine traits or qualities. Yeah. Hell, I like
it. I think on the inside, we all feel like that, mm-hmm. but we don't portray that. Like, for me, as a kid, I was very feminine. Like, I was a, hey, girl, how you doing, feminine person. And I didn't know what gay was. Mm-hmm. So I was always extremely feminine, like, to the point where, like, people picked on me as a kid. As I grew up, I became more masculine, and I see people that go through that with them being feminine, and I feel sorry for them because the way people treat them,
mm-hmm.
because I know what I went through. But how you view yourself is not everybody else views you.
Right. And I definitely came to some terms with that after speaking with, like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, nigga, you no. Like, a group had some friends who live here, but of course, everyone, they've moved away. Mm-hmm. But they'd be like, you know, you're the only man in our group. You and your cousin, y'all two are the only men in our circle. And I'd be like, Mama, I'm like, oh yeah, I got penises. But that was, what, 25, 26 year old me, like, but oh yeah, I got penises. But then, because I would say I didn't enter the culture until I was like 23.
Yeah, I joined late too.
So I was definitely one of those kids who grew up in a pretty liberal / conservative household where they respected it, but some of the comments they said would leave you really confused. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, maybe something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm.
But my mom made it very obvious, gay is not right. She was a pastor, she wasn't having it. So it took me a long time to even come out. I actually moved here 10 years ago to come out to her. And she still wasn't having it. But my aunt was like, we always knew he was gay. what was you going through? And she was just really trying to hold on to it. But that was her problem. And after that, we have a really good relationship. She knows I'm gay. I married a man, so.
Right. Her say, like, me, like, for instance, I want to say I have dated the mask for mask guy who has all this, like, super over-the-top misogynistic mannerisms, and then had the audacity to tell me the gayest thing about me is my music. So it's not the fact that I kissed you and sucked your dick or eat your ass. That ain't gay. Mm-hmm. My music is gay. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand that part. I've dated the guy that beat the fuck out of his face. I've dated that gay. The super androgynous between male, female clothing style gay. Because for me, I'm a sapiosexual. Because it's more.
Sapiosexual.
Yeah. But for me, it's more about the mental connection that I have with the individual.
Okay.
How you dress don't mean shit to me. Motherfuckers talk about me how I dress.
So do you feel like you're feminine or masculine? Are you in the middle? How you feel?
I don't know, because everyone has their own opinions about how...
I'm going to tell you how I feel, but I want to know how you feel about you personally.
Hell, me? I'm just me at this point. I like what I like.
Do you have more feminine traits? Are you in the middle? Do you have more masculine traits?
If I had to say, I would honestly say maybe more so in the middle.
Okay.
But honestly, I don't know.
And I want you to tell me too. So I feel like when I first saw you, I feel like you had a lot of masculine energy, right? But the more that I have talked to you, I feel like you're in the middle. Like, you do have some feminine traits, but it's not like feminine. I'm like, that nigga gay. Like, it's like, okay, you know, he does have some feminine traits, but you have a lot of masculine energy. It might be a lot of because of your size and, you know, things like that. Like, you look manly, you know. But when
I heard that.
When you first see you, it's never like that nigga gay.
Yeah, that's what I get. That.
Like, none of that.
That's what people say until, like, they really start talking to me. It's like, maybe you might be gay. So, yeah, I can definitely.
What you get from me?
I would say I definitely got in between.
Okay.
Definitely in between. But other than that, like, not really, not flamboyant, but you're just, like I was saying, you're you.
Yeah.
You're like a melting pot of all the qualities that make people awesome.
If you were in elementary school, like, that nigga is gay as fuck.
Cause I told my mom asked me this question. She's like, so in your relationship, who's the guy and who's the girl? I started dying laughing. I laughed for like a good 5 minutes. So she was like, I told you were going to laugh. I was like, I was like, as far as I'm concerned, we're both men. I said, but I understand what you're asking me. But I said, it's the same quality.
I don't know who's the bottom, who's the top.
But so I told her like this. I was like, look at it this way. On the hetero side of the spectrum, you have more masculine women and you have more feminine men. You and those masculine women still like men, and those feminine men still like women.
Right.
So it's the same. It's the same exact spectrum. It's just
they
want to
know who's fucking who. Who's it's getting just fucked? That's
same
what they want to know.
Sex related. But what I wasn't gonna tell my mom was, well, hell, if you venture into some other known places, you might see some straight nigga you know getting dug out by some girl with a strap on. But I didn't take it that far with her because I have ventured into straight freak Twitter, and I cannot unsee some of the shit that I have seen on their side of the spectrum.
I never seen straight freak Twitter.
They nasty. I thought we was nasty. They nasty.
I couldn't imagine that they're nastier than gay freak Twitter.
Right.
Ever.
Women have thrills.
It just doesn't.
Three. And they be putting a lot of shit up in there.
I've never seen it. I don't want to see it. I'm good with that. Hey, what's up, Heartbeats? It's your boy, Soul Debonair, one half of the Affairs of the Heart podcast. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow, Thursday, and every Thursday for our live on YouTube and on Facebook. It will be with me, Dwayne, and also it's Clark from this week's episode. So tune in so we can kind of recap that. And then we want you guys to join into the conversation. So make sure you meet us there. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, like the fan page on Facebook, and we'll see you there. Bye. All right, so let's switch over to our sex topics. So our first topic is, what is something you like to watch on porn, but you would never do in real life? And why would you not do it?
I like seeing people get fisted.
It's like the third person I heard say that.
Like, when I first saw it, I was a little like creeped out. Like, why would you want a whole forearm? Mm-hmm. Up your ass. And then as I got older, I started becoming like more it became more intriguing. Mm-hmm. And then like, and the same people like use the like super outrageous ass toys that are like based on animals. That shit is like, you've never seen you've never seen like the dildos that be like at the width of the length of this damn table?
No.
But like,
I don't really watch porn like that. So I never seen that.
Like, that's just like venturing and clicking on shit that you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But like, oh, and that'd be on Twitter too. People be retweeting some nasty shit.
I never seen no dildos on this table though.
It was like, and the dude had like all lined up. And
wow. It was, I never seen that.
Like, and then like you can see it like go in them, like moving their stomach and shit, like shifting shit. Like,
Inbox me the next time you see one so I can watch this. I never seen that.
Cause it's like,
because I'm a good observer of porn. I don't really watch porn like that, but I like to observe what's going on though sometimes.
And then also look at, like, this is a whole nother subculture. This is like, and I'm a culture junkie. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm intrigued because this is something, would I do it? No. But I'm intrigued.
But you like watching it.
Right. I'm intrigued. It is intriguing, so I can't stop watching. Because like, when you can see them two, like, taking two fists at one time, they'd be alternating their hands, I'd be like, oh my gosh. And then bust a fat nut to
it. Makes me cringe. Think about that.
It does. Like, it makes me cringe, and I'm intrigued, then it's hot, and then it's like, explosion.
I think for me, I like the whole, like, guys jacking off and coming on with one guy in the middle. I would never do it, but I'm like, I have a cum fetish, so I think that this happens. So like when I see it, like I watch the whole thing. I want to see how many guys actually jacked off on him. Or even like when the guys get fucked up on the people and then they push it out.
That is hot.
I think that's hot. I will never do it, but I like watching it.
I was like, I don't want to get fisted, but I could be interested in fisting
somebody. Yeah. I would never want to be in a circle jerk because I might be like, let me get down here. I experienced like two or three, but I mean, there's so much coming. Like when you see it, it doesn't look good at the end of it.
It doesn't. It just looks like a whole
a blob, a, like
of congealed mess.
Literally, it's a mess.
Can I watch those too?
Circle jerks, I like that. Okay. So the next one is, what sex is better? I missed you sex, I'm sorry sex, or we are not supposed to be doing this sex?
We ain't supposed to be doing this sex. Bum chucka wow wow. Definitely. Cause I've had some of those. But I can definitely honestly say I was on the end of the spectrum where I wasn't the one who wasn't supposed to be doing it. But it's still hot as hell knowing that you loving somebody else.
You was not supposed to be doing it.
And you ain't supposed to be with me. But you know what? We still gonna do it. Yeah. And we probably gonna do it again.
I'm gonna have to agree with I'm not supposed to be doing this sex.
I miss you sex. It was hot.
Yeah.
It was definitely hot.
I'm sorry sex is really hot.
I've never had I'm sorry sex.
I'm sorry sex is way better than the I miss you sex. It's way better because you're going for your life at this point because you're sorry. And you gotta show out. You don't have a choice but to show out. So I'm sorry sex, I'm going to say is my number one. Number two is going to be I'm not supposed to be doing this sex.
Mine is going to go not supposed to be doing it and then miss you. I'm like, am I? No, because like when I get to that point where we're at the point of saying sorry, I'm still seeing red. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Get the fuck out of my face. Why are you touching me?
Mm-mm. I'm like, take that aggression out of me. That kind of sex. That's amazing to me.
No, I'm probably going to go.
I'm like, listen, let's fuck. Let all this anger out. You'll be fine tomorrow.
Smoke your blunt and talk to you.
Smoke your blunt before we do it. And that's going to even be better, more sex. Better sex. You want some drinks too?
I've never had I'm sorry.
I'm not supposed to be doing this sex. That's some toxic sex.
But fun.
It's amazing sex. I mean, if you haven't done it, I'm not encouraging you to do it.
But do it.
But I'm encouraging you to do it. All right. So our last question is, do you get mistaken for being a bottom or a top? Has anyone ever gotten upset for you about you being your own sexual preference?
Have I ever been mistaken? I gotta say yes, even though I definitely claim first. But I do have a tendency to top most of the time, but I do claim versatile, definitely.
Okay.
Because I definitely like both very much equally.
Okay.
My toy collection goes between both to satisfy all ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
But I can say, and this may even tie back to the mass for mass thing.
Okay.
Because I've only have been told off or cursed out or just thrown bullshit at mainly from bottoms because they're on verse.
Bottoms are not really cool with you being verse for real though.
It's like.
Like, they want some dick and that's it. And you're not about to get them dick from them.
One thing about me, I've never been mad at anyone being their sexual.
But role. You can't come to a bottom and say I'm verse. Tops are more, but versatile tops are more accepting to that than bottoms. Like bottoms is, they want some dick and that's it.
But if the nigga asks, they want to be lied to, pretty much. You want a motherfucker to lie to?
Probably. Because they ain't worried about nothing but some dick, you know. I'm a speak up for that. You know, I'm a versatile bottom. I think Probably more. I mean, I really don't like the top all like that, but you know, when you find someone who's top of you and they want you to fuck them, I'm like, we ain't talking about this. You said you was versatile. Like, I know you expect me to be at the versatile part of this situation. So, like, you want me to do it now? Correct. Or, like, the next time we do it?
Like, me, my versatility, like, if you, if you're a bomb, that's what you are. I'm never going to ask you to cross the line where you're not comfortable at.
I just feel like I would probably top for someone I'm actually dating, not someone I'm hooking up with. My profiles that was on the app said, no bottoms. Don't hit me up. I ain't doing it.
That's it. But like on the, like you said, like first tops and tops tend to be a little bit more lenient with it. Definitely. Because a lot of like, ooh, I would love to see you fuck somebody. We can fuck somebody together. That tends to be a top mentality. But
I would like to watch too sometimes. But I might want to join at that point though. But I still like to watch.
I was about to say something that completely slipped my mind.
I think it's hot to watch.
Oh, I have a friend who likes to watch. He says he makes it like into a whole like little movie thing. I was like, so you just still watch people have sex? He's like, yeah.
But I would like to watch it live. Like, I can't watch porn. But live, like, I would love to watch.
I know, he sets them up like movie nights.
Yeah, so. I would, ooh.
He said he brings popcorn.
Hook me up with him because I want to watch with him.
He brings popcorn.
We would have a good time. For real.
I was like, so did you join me? He's like, nah, just watch.
We ain't got to join in. I like to watch live people having sex.
He's like, I just watch. He said, I might beat my dick at one point, but other than that, I'm just watching.
I probably wouldn't even beat my dick. I would just watch. I think it's very interesting to watch. Even when I watch porn, it's really weird because I'm really not into the whole sex part. I like the plot. Like, why did y'all fuck?
Like, how y'all get to this point? Like, have you started in the middle? Like, let me get to the good part. Like, how y'all get to that? Let me go back real quick and see how I got to
And I hate the whole missionary one. I'm like, when did y'all get to fucking from the back? Because this part is boring.
Missionary is the mission.
That's like a relationship sex to
Everyone
me.
Everyone always wants. Missionary is like my least favorite.
Everybody on this podcast knows that's my least favorite.
Right.
I don't like it. I'm like, what time we get into the bag?
I don't know, but sometimes missionary, like people be like be trying to stare at you in your face.
I'm just sitting like. Are we done yet? Eyes closed. Are we done?
I have one dude where he's like, you only want to fuck dogs. You never want. You must don't like
They be trying to hypnotize you. Like, are you going to be my man?
Right.
Are we fucking?
Be looking you dead in your eye like, yeah. That pussy feel good on it. That dude feel good on it.
Looking in your eyes like you hypnotizing. Like, we're going to be fucking more after this. Sir, first of all, this is even not that good. So, I'm sorry. This is going to be the last day. But get your life.
I like every position, but I don't like being rogue. I think I'm mainly a control freak.
I posted on Twitter the other day. I was like, someone said, let's fuck. And they was like, get on top. I said, sir, you want to fuck me? I didn't come over here for this.
Right, this one. One bottom, he got mad because we always wanted that. Like, I like. So it's something about, for me, with doggy, I love the curvature of a man's back.
And it's because both of y'all can have some sort of kind of control. Like, at the top can have control and the bottom can have control at different points. And that's why I love it.
I can control at any point. I am 6'3", 270.
But as you land on your back, as a bottom, you can't really have control.
Yes, you can.
The work that it takes for you to have control is not as easy as doing it from dog style.
I'll say now, we are both pretty big men.
Yes.
I have stood up with a nigga in me. Like, don't get it twisted. I told you to stop.
I understand. No, I'm talking about... I'm not talking about trying to get out of it. I'm talking about during the sex, like trying to really have good sex. It's different trying to have good sex when you lay on your back. versus doggy style. There's so much control you can have as a bottom versus you laying on your back.
True.
Because you got to, like, lift yourself up and, like, start pushing it. Versus when you on all fours, you got more control.
Then you got the niggas that just want to look you in your face.
Don't look at me. I hate that. Don't look at me. You ain't my man. Don't look at me.
I just, this one regular top guy I used to mess with. Mm-hmm. We're cool. We're friends as well. So it's like, it's like a weird friendship. We fuck, but we cool as hell. Like, cool as hell.
She was like, fuck buddies.
And he'd be like, he asked me once, he's like, do you practice your sexual face in the mirror? I said, what?
What?
He's like, your face just be intoxicating when we, I was like, okay. Like, I don't know how to take that. I think I should take it as a compliment.
It sounds like a compliment.
But why are you all in my face? I don't know, why are you trying to peer into my soul?
Is kissing him a requirement for you during sex?
No.
Okay.
But typically, if I don't want to kiss, we probably ain't going to fuck. Mm-hmm. Because, like, if they listen to this, they don't know now that it's a lie. But it's some people that think I hate kissing. And they try to steal a kiss one time, I'm going to slap the fuck out of him.
Kissing is a requirement for me. Like, to have good sex, we gotta kiss. Because I need that interaction. Like, I need to feel that energy. And if you ain't kissing me, the energy is not really there.
And if we do, it gotta be nasty.
Yeah.
Now, random question, completely off topic. Okay. I don't know if you've ever tweeted this, but what are your views on someone spitting in your mouth?
We asked about this last week. Don't spit in my mouth.
But y'all,
I'm not into spit.
But y'all already kissing.
I don't in my mouth. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. What I will do though, I said this on the last podcast. I don't mind if, like, we fucked and, like, you ate me out and you sucked the cum out and spit in my mouth. I'm fine with that. But I don't want you spitting in my mouth.
The image that I just had of that, how you just described that.
We just talked about on the live on last week. I'm like, I'm down for that, but spit in my mouth.
But not just.
It's like bubbly, it's popping. It's like.
But the other one got extra.
But it's from me into you, so this is our shared thing.
But y'all,
I don't want you spitting in my mouth. No.
Have y'all not?
You already swallowed and spit multiple times before you done did this. I'm not down for that. Mm-mm. I just feel like spit is disrespectful, honestly. I think about white people spitting on black people when I do that, when I hear about spit, period. So it's already a disrespectful thing. But you spit on my, like, you had to be, I had to be into you so much for you to spit in my mouth and me like it for you to be able to do that, because I hate spit. I do not like, I don't like it.
I've had some interactions with it. It's hot. Maybe because I'm into some extra kinky type.
The foreplay better be out of this world for you to spit in my mouth. Don't fuck me and then spit in my mouth. I'm like, sir, I'm calling the cops.
I've had some interactions where it's like super, super.
But what do you get out of that? Like, why is that hot? I don't understand that either. I don't get it. I need to understand why spitting in my mouth is like a thing.
It's simple.
I get spitting on my asshole, like spit on it, have a good time with it. I'm good with that. But my mouth, spit on my mouth, I already got spit in my mouth. I don't need your spit.
The first time I did it was weird because it's like spit on. But it was so hot. Mm-hmm. When he said it. And the look he gave me, like, he meant that. And then,
maybe it was somebody that I was into. I'll be into it. But I haven't met that person yet.
I'm here for it. I'm here for all the shit. I'm here for everything except blood and poop.
And pee. I'm not there. Well, I have peed on Aunt Amy. But don't pee on me. I'm good. But yeah, not for through. Everything you said, noted. And don't pee on me, but other than that, I'm great. I had a guy that I peed in his mouth and he drank every drop of pee that I pissed in his mouth.
I mean, he could be walking down the street, I wouldn't know a thing.
Sorry to this man.
He was saying thank you to you though.
He was happy about it.
You quenched his thirst.
He was happy about it. But that's that. So this is the end of the podcast, guys. Make sure you guys are following us on the affairsatheartpodcast.com. Follow us on The Affairs at Heart on Instagram, AOTH Podcast on Twitter, and Affairs at Heart on Facebook. Follow me at So Debonair on all social media. That's Debonair with no O. And how can they find you?
Again, it's Clark underscore underscore. That's on Instagram and Twitter. Again, that's spelled ITSCLARK underscore underscore. Come fuck with your boy.
And that's it. We out. Bye.
Deuces.